Stop, drop, and listen. I'm Magda, and you've just arrived at your final destination. If it's raw, real, and unedited, I like it. Live, from the bottom of my heart, this podcast is everything you've never expected. I'm going to sign my name across the airwaves by daring to be different. Muchos adiós. The biggest fear I have, I'll tell you at the end of the podcast, but fear is the topic of this podcast. And the reason is that I keep hearing things in my everyday life that are fear-based, fear factor, fear of God. It's all based on fear. It all stems from fear, which got me thinking. And when I start thinking, I start creating. And I'm going to define from the Webster's Dictionary. And fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Whether the threat is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. This is so interesting because whether the threat is real or imagined, it's still the same feeling. Why we feel afraid are two variables, and they are associated with shame, feeling ashamed, anxiety, embarrassment, humiliation. The fear factor can paralyze and debilitate someone, not physically, but psychologically speaking. And I wanted to talk about the different fears in America, and I wanted to talk about fears in couples, marriages, girlfriend, boyfriend, it really doesn't matter. It used to be in America that the number one fear was what I do for a living, and that is speaking in public, which I never really understood why people were afraid of that, because I have no problem speaking to anyone ever. I have no filter, which makes me a very free person. Most people consider what I do dangerous, because I'm putting myself out at risk. And I am. And I know I am. And I like it. You know why? I'm not afraid. Most people are afraid. People are afraid of posting their photograph on social media. Imagine speaking in front of a big audience. It used to be the number one fear. It is not anymore. In America, the number one fear is flying. Flying is statistically meant to be the safest form of traveling. Yet people take Xanax because they can't do it. They just can't. You know the movies with the crash and the snakes and the fire up in the air? Well, guess what? It worked. It's the number one fear in America, which is associated to the fear of heights. Do you suffer from this fear? No, I don't. Do you, the audience? I don't know. Call me up. Let me know. Comment. Send me a DM. I really do want to understand. I'm not afraid of flying at all. I've been flying since I was a little girl, and it's just fun, actually. It's a little break. And when you don't have Wi-Fi, it's a really big break. I just try to distract myself with a movie or, you know, busy work, write something. Number two is what used to be number one, is the fear of public speaking. This fear is understandable, though, because I associate this one more with judgment, and everybody's afraid of being judged in one way or another. This must be one of the most people's deepest fears, and I'll tell you why. Expert speakers such as the presidents of the United States, they too shake and get nervous and sweat, right? And this is a fear because you're in front of everybody and everybody's taking notice of you, and judgment, that's a cutter, isn't it? This is all about not fluffing your lines, how your hair falls, how your hand shakes, any tics. And people often do fear being judged. It used to be the greatest fear. It's not anymore. And I get this one a lot more. I get it. This one's more understandable. The flying one, I don't know. I don't know. How many planes have you know have fallen? Did you know somebody on that plane? I don't. But speaking in public, completely understandable. Number three is fear of heights. This one is the kind of, it's called acrophobia. But I do acro yoga and I do go on some roller coaster rides with my boyfriend or my husband. I don't have any issues with that. But people do suffer from the physical symptoms of vomiting up there. They're afraid of landing. They're afraid of jumping high. These are also understandable. If you've ever been to Disneyland and you've seen, whether it's Disney in LA or wherever, you've seen some of those roller coaster rides. They're huge, like the Incredible Hulk one. It's acrophobia. Phobias are also very intertwined and associated with fear. We'll get to that later. Number four is the fear of the dark. This one is generally formed when you are an infant. We are born in love with love and we learn fear. This one is probably one of the earlier ones to be learned by children. And overcoming fear of the darkness is trying to understand what it is. What is it about the dark that frightens you? The blackout, what does it do? What happens? This is a great way to explain it to a child. Number five is the fear of intimacy. And this is probably maybe the one that rings closest to my biggest fear. Is into me, you see. And I don't let anybody into me. And once I do, and they do see me, all kinds of fears are born for me. We can get to this. I'm going to share with you at the end my two biggest fears in the world. I know some of the social media people know and are aware of one of mine because it's on YouTube. And because some of the, you know, all the stalkers and stuff, they read it. And I get all kinds of weird associations to one of my fears. But the fear of intimacy is, I think, the most stifling in any human being. Although I have seen people freeze up in front of the ocean and in front of airplanes. But I think this fear, the fear of rejection, the fear of commitment, the fear of failure, so serious, people often don't live because of this fear. It's a fear of change. Okay, I didn't make it with my husband. Okay, I didn't make it with my boyfriend, my girlfriend. Oh God, life is over. Life is over. I'm so ashamed. I'm so embarrassed. I actually had a man say to me once after a severe breakup, I'm so embarrassed. I was like, you just lost the love of your life. And I'm so embarrassed is the first phrase out of your mouth. Weird. Like most fears, having fear of intimacy limits us in every way. It limits us. We'll get back to that one when we talk about couples. But number six is the fear of death. And that one is called thanatophobia. And it affects many, many people in the world, millions of people in this world. Anything to do with death freaks them out, which is, it's just nature. You're born, you die. You have a short time on this earth. Overcoming this fear is about understanding that there's a cycle, right? That's natural. There's two sides to the coin. You're born, you die. I think more than death is being forgotten. It's about being open to having this fear in the first place. Maybe talking to a professional or a friend about never being forgotten is a therapeutic method to get over the fear of death. Number seven is the fear of failure, which is hugely associated to shame and embarrassment, humiliation. This is another understandable fear for me. I understand it. I don't have it. I don't have this fear of failure. I don't believe in failure. Again, this is a fear of change and a fear of what other people will think of you. And that's something I definitely don't suffer from. The fear of rejection. Do people think I'm cool or they think I'm a loser? That's definitely not something I resonate with, but many people do. And as with overcoming other common fears, it's about facing the fear by taking action. You have to take action in order to never feel that type of fear. Number eight is the fear of rejection. And this is probably the most common, is feeling rejected, whether it's in work or in your personal life. And I'm a bit surprised by this, I have to say, because I'm not entirely sure what rejection I personally am afraid of. I think it's about wanting the acceptance of another human being or the love of another human being and not ever doing anything to jeopardize. Am I a good wife? Am I a good husband? That type of thing. Maybe I actually don't even know. So in order to know more on this fear, I'd have to explore it with my clients, which I do all the time. How about you? Do you fear rejection? Is that your number one fear or is it flying? It's so interesting. That one is self-explanatory, though. Thankfully, that one's something that I don't have issues with. I hate to say it, but you're going to freak out when I tell you number nine. You're going to freak out. And it doesn't resonate with me either, because at the end, I'm going to tell you what I'm afraid of. It's the fear of spiders. And this one is arachnophobia. And the fear of spiders is pretty much, I think, an irrational fear. And I guess one of mine is irrational, too. And I'll tell you then. And exposing yourself to this fear is what the experts say is required to fix it. So take two spiders, put them in front of you, a little bit creepy, and deal with it. That's just crazy. It's just nuts. It's just gross. Imagine being afraid of a spider. Spiders are little insects. They don't do anything. Wait till I tell you what I'm afraid of. And number 10 is the fear of commitment. How many people have you read say, I'll commit to commit, but they won't commit? I guess it's too dead-ended. It's predominantly a male fear. The fear of commitment, although is predominantly male, affects all of us at different stages in our lives. I also think that considering the other fears that I listed above, this one is intertwined with that as well. So if you're happy to commit a financial future and you work hard and you save your money, that's okay. Whilst people are more less keen on the personal one, the relationship one, there are others who are quite happy with making a commitment. I'm one of those. I won't make it again and again because I don't think getting married 25 times is a good idea. But I know people that do, and they make a career out of getting married and taking that risk. And you know, being loved is very important in this one for the people that keep taking that risk. It's the people that don't take that risk that are the ones that I worry about. So I'm going to be kind to myself and my fear of commitment, and I'm going to try instead of I'm never going to love another human being. Therefore, I never have to be committed. So I don't ever have to feel rejection or pain or failure. Those are the ones that worry me because they never really understand how great life is. If you are committed, if you do take that risk, if you do make yourself vulnerable, there are so many different fears that in the United States, there was a study based on 1,500 humans where it divides the different fear domains, which categorize the different fears in those domains. And this was a study done in 2015, which I thought was fantastic. And the domains go like this: crime, which encompasses murder, rape, theft, burglary, fraud, identity theft. Now, I think everybody in the world is afraid of being murdered, raped, or stolen from. Fraud and identity theft, those are more common. It's a bitch, it's a problem, you get through it. But crime is one of the domains. Daily life is another domain. And it encompasses the rejection of romance, ridicule, or talking to strangers. Daily life. I don't know how that fits into one category. Talking to strangers, I guess, should be with the public speaking one. Ridicule. Everybody's afraid to be ridiculous, humiliated. I don't know why. I just don't know why. That's not one of mine. Fear domain number 3 is environment. I think I've not met anyone who is not afraid of global warming, overpopulation, or pollution. I think everyone I know ever is afraid of these. Governments, once again, pretty popular. Government corruption, drones, gun control, immigration issues. Judgment of others. This is the one I find most interesting. I don't suffer from this one. I really don't, thank God. Appearance, weight, age and race. If you're a little Indian and you're ugly little Indian and you don't fit the bill like a magazine, don't be afraid. If you're overweight, you were fat once, and I say fat all the time because I've been fat. Who cares? Appearance is something that has never really fazed me. I guess I'm symmetrical. I hear it all the time. My age, I'm 46 years old, and I'm very proud of every year I've been alive on this earth. I don't lack attention, and I don't seek attention. I just get it. So there's something about my age, weight, appearance, and race that works. I don't give a shit if it doesn't. Man-made disasters, warfare, terrorism, nuclear attacks. I think across the board, everyone's afraid of that. Natural disasters, earthquakes, droughts, floods, hurricanes, everybody. Personal anxieties. This one is the one. Tight spaces, public speaking, clowns, vaccines. It's true. It's true. How many people aren't afraid of vaccines? Clowns, tight spaces, elevators, small rooms. This one, anxiety is a word that is also tied with fear, shame, embarrassment, humiliation. Personal future is the next domain. Dying, illness, running out of money, and unemployment. Interesting, the personal future one. I resonate with running out of money. I think that's one of the reasons that I'm like a borderline hoarder. I mean, I'm always stealing ketchup and stuff, shampoos from hotels. And who doesn't? And if they say they don't, they're lying. Personal future is something that I've always been very cognizant of. Not afraid of work, not afraid of saving. I'm afraid of running out of money. Interesting. And that one, it probably comes from my family. A lot of it has to do with our culture and our upbringing and these memories that we form as children. And then finally, the last domain is technology, artificial intelligence, robots, and cyber terrorism. I actually love the Jetsons, and I love the way the robot did everything for them. So I'm not too afraid of technology. I'm rolling with the punches. I'm not afraid of the eye in the sky, the Big Brother thing, because at the end of the day, I live very clear. I'm not harming anyone. So those are the domains. I've read you the top 10 fears, and these are questions that I think about when I'm considering the joy in my life, because I believe that unhappiness is usually fueled by anxiety, fear, and shame. I know many of my coachees have issues such as, I'm afraid to do this, therefore I'm going to be unhappy. Whether it is be with the girl they want to be with. I'm afraid of doing that. I'm going to skip doing that, but I'm going to remain unhappy. I have a client who's a very sophisticated professional. She's afraid to do certain things that will ensure her promotion. She's afraid. They are this fear, the anxiety and the shame. They're uninvited guests in your life, and you should really kick them out. When tragedy or hardship hits, they can become like those leeches, the constant companions that never leave and never contribute a dime to the table. Anxiety can come over you like a tsunami, you know, or a tidal wave, and operate like a silent killer under the surface of everyday life. And that would suck, wouldn't it? I also have a client that was cured in one day over the fear of rejection. In one day. And he'll tell you his story. You can also find out how people get over public speaking issues. This one is common. I think people getting over that, they go see speech therapists or acting classes. How to deal with fear, feeling not good enough, and shame is a little different, because that comes from essentially always feeling flawed and inadequate, not good enough. And that usually does come from history. And that would maybe a better take on that would go to see a therapist, to go backwards in order to go forwards. How to stay calm and clear in these spaces, in these places, instead of anxious and nervous. That can also be controlled through class, breathing techniques, yoga. And how to manage fear and despair when life sends you a catastrophe, a breakup, an illness, vulnerability, or death, loss. That's also a great way to put it in perspective, is the management of fear. And then in my everyday life, one of the things that I do for a living is positive thinking, positive speaking, positive action. This definitely helps, and sometimes it harms. you cannot trick yourself into believing that things are great. You have to actually act on things being great. How to best serve yourself and put on your bravest self face when you're terrified, when you're super scared and you're internalizing the shame of others. That's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. No one signs up to feel anxiety or shame or fear. No one says, hi, I want that. But we can't really avoid it either. And we really just can control the way we respond to these emotions in new ways. Instead of freaking out, getting depressed, overeating, harming yourself, we can live a more full life as long as we're present and prepared to move into the future, not stuck in the past. If you're, let's say, leaving your partner, instead of never loving again, it's moving into the future with courage, clarity, humor, hope, an open heart. The couples thing, the couples, marriage, girlfriend, boyfriend, the unconscious fear in a couple, the dynamic works very well in courtship. It really does, because before the social tie is before you're bonded in girlfriend, boyfriend, 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 or a married couple, usually the man steps up and he's the protector, the wolf of the pack. If he has a beard, he's a wolf. He respects and responds to a woman, and he protects her. He makes her feel good. He supports her. He desires her. He is generous to her. He is the man. He is the big guy, right? The alpha. He's attentive. He's a protector. He soothes her from any fear or harm, isolation or deprivation. He never harms her. That's the beginning of the relationship. A man is unlikely to fall in love with a woman who doesn't think he's great. I mean, if the woman in the relationship thinks a man is a loser or a lousy lay or a wimp, then he probably won't fall in love with her, and he probably won't pick her as a partner. He typically needs his partner to feel pleased with his success. You can fall in love with a struggling artist, but if you're a female, but always hope and know that he's got potential to be a great artist, successful artist, satisfied by his lovemaking skills, and he's the best lovemaker in the world, and to feel safe and secure around him and his presence, to feel his protection against everybody in the world. That's what a woman needs to make him feel that she believes in him. She soothes his fear of failure, and he soothes her fear of anything. He's the protector. That dynamic at the beginning of any courtship works really well. In short order, the same vulnerabilities that brought them together could destroy a couple, whether they're married or not. After marriage, usually, or living together, or cohabitation, let's say you and your boyfriend live together, a man expects his wife or girlfriend to never again ever feel a negative emotion, because he's now protecting her, right? When she becomes anxious or fearful, he feels like a failure. And God help her if she says something to him like, I feel isolated, you're not taking care of me, you're not contributing to the home, you're not making love to me, you're just using me for sex. He hears, the husband or the boyfriend, the cohabitant, hears, regardless, no matter how much she says, he hears, the way you love me isn't good enough. You're failing as a husband, cohabitant, boyfriend. You're bad. He then gets defensive and angry and either tries to control her or shuts down completely emotionally. That is the other side of the dynamic between a couple. Couples can greatly improve their relationships if they identify the negative emotions that are fucking up or undermining their interactions or their daily dynamic. It is not the husband or the wife. It is something that's happening in between both of them. And together they can either disarm this by communicating better and trusting each other, getting in touch with their deeper values, or on a deep value level. Neither wants the other to feel anxious or failure. Imagine one of you destroying the other one physically or verbally or emotionally. Then it's destined for failure. Now, on that level, they are more compassionate and can reinstate their connection to one another. Fortunately, in a loving couple, that type of connection soothes both the fear and the shame and greatly eases negotiation about these behaviors of fear, anxiety, shame, embarrassment. connected couples, deeply connected couples, 50-50 partners, you know, both in money and in everything. Couples, those are the ones that can usually solve the problems. The disconnected couples, the ones that have inequitable relationships, the ones that don't have trust, where he doesn't care really about her or she's, you know, not very attentive to him. Those are the ones that'll probably get lost in the resentment and the anger caused by fear. So fear is much more than just the statements that you hear. Oh, he would run faster if he had the fear of God. That's fear-based, fear factor. Those phrases are based on one word, and that's fear. And fear, that's a big one. So at the end of the podcast, I promised that I would tell you what my fears were. My biggest fears do not come. I guess the one of ketchup and shampoo do come from childhood. I don't know if it was my father, who was always has excellent credit, great savings, all that. He always told me I needed to save. So I'm always saving. No matter what it is, I'm always saving. So for a rainy day, I'm ready. And it's so funny. I never really thought that that was a fear until I began to realize that some of my actions were coming from that very fear of not having enough. The one that is irrational that I still can't put my finger on. And it's so funny because like my ex-boyfriends, little girlfriends, they're always posting lizards. And I guess they must have read that I was afraid of lizards. So I can see that they're taunting me with my irrational fear of lizards. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how I ended up in Miami again, but I am in Miami again in a great place for lizards, and it's fine. I can deal with it, but and in my everyday life, I have protectors. But the point is it's an irrational fear. It's a stifling fear. I was in the rainforest, in a beautiful rainforest, not so long ago, and these iguanas kept coming out, and the people I was, they were just shocked at my behavior. And of course, they protected me. They don't harm me. And I guess my biggest fear, the one that I believe came from my marriage and then came from my significant other relationship, is the fear of betrayal. What I consider betrayal, obviously, in a personal relationship or boundaries and limits that were not met by my significant other. And I have severe, severe fear with this, something that I will constantly grapple with. And you know, I'll know when my partner makes me feel safe and protected in that form. And I'll feel great, just like I do with the lizard protectors around me. I'll have protection in that form one day. I know. I have hope and I have faith that that fear will be eliminated soon. So the next time you feel fear, remember, happy thoughts, breath, therapy, happy music. Manage those fears. You don't have to be like anyone or do a certain thing. Manage them the way you can manage them. And it'll help. Okay, so that's the podcast on fear. The next one, I believe, is either on swimsuits or Lunchology. I'm not sure because Lunchology is the next commercial. Have yourself a fearless day. I got him. I got my favorite sponsor. They're all my favorite sponsor, but this one's open for life. I'm so fresh, fresh to death. Here in the 305, there's a place called Hugo Fresh, where we drink mad juice. They've got the right medicina for you. It's where the vida is. Homegrown, local love, community members, and just downright outrageous. They're paddleboarders. They're yogis. They're very LA, very New York, and now they're my sponsors with various locations throughout South Florida. www.hugofresh.com. They're open for life. Did you like me? Did you hate me? Tell me why. You can find me at www.atrev-t.com. That means to dare. I dare you to contact me. My phone number is 305-903-7160. I'm on Instagram, REVETE. I'm on Facebook, ATREVETE Inc. I'm incorporated. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm everywhere. Contact me.